happening?
Jesus.
That's what's up, Jesus. Let's pray to Jesus. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. As we hear this message, Lord, put our hearts and our homes back in order by teaching us how to seek you first and surrender every single part of our lives to Jesus. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning. Last week I kind of dug sitting on a chair, but I won't do that today. It was kind of fun. Although the stool wasn't like the most comfortable thing in the world, it was still better than just standing. But so if you remember last week, it was pretty heavy, right? Sorry, not sorry. There's a lot of stuff, right, that's been going on in my life. We're not going to rehash that, so you're welcome. You can go back and watch it if you want. But today we're going to kind of try to bring it all back together, and the message is called Back in Order for a reason, right? Last week it was check yourself, right? Let's figure out what priorities are in our own life are screwed up so we can check ourselves, get them back in order, which is what today is all about, is getting everything back in order. You know, I don't know how many people, I will just go out on a limb and say, guys have loaded the dishwasher wrong, right? How many guys, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know all of them would go up, have loaded the dishwasher incorrectly, right? You put it in there, you think it's, you know, you're some sort of like mechanical engineer and everything is just fit just perfectly, but what you don't realize is like cups are standing up, so water's just going to fill, dirty water's going to fill the cups, and things are just kind of just thrown about. Then you open it up when it's done and nothing's clean, right? And it's not because you didn't try, it's because the order in which things happened were disorganized. They were out of order, right? We didn't load it correctly, therefore they weren't washed correctly. And I don't know how many people can relate to that with their lives. I know kind of a weird analogy of thinking of yourself as a dishwasher or the dishes that are in a dishwasher, but really our lives can become disorganized. You learned a whole lot about how my life had become very, 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 very disorganized last week. Excuse me. And that's what happens. I loaded the dishwasher really wrong. And it's not the problem is not that we are doing nothing, it's that we are doing things in the wrong order, right? We're not loading it correctly. And we're giving the best of ourselves to lesser things and giving whatever we have left over to the most important things. And, you know, if you can think of a time in your life where, you know, maybe your walk with the Lord was a little sketchy or you weren't really focused on Him as much as you could or should have been, it's probably most likely because we were giving our attention to something far less important than what really mattered. And that's why this is called reset, right? I think we all could use a reset in our lives at one point or another. It certainly might happen, I don't know, eight or 9 weeks ago. I used to keep track of the days, and now I just don't know because everything kind of just runs together. But it's been a while. So because seeing the problem isn't enough, right? We can see the problem in our lives, but it's not enough. Conviction is not the finish line. Now, I told you last week how I became just overwhelmingly convicted by, you know, a left and a right jab from the Holy Spirit on January 21st, right? I became convicted in a way that I can't even explain into words. But that's not where the finish line is. God does not expose disorder so we can feel bad and go home unchanged. Right? God exposed all of this disorder in my life, not so I can just go home and just continue with the status quo, right? No, he changed me. And you know, the way that I explain this transformation is if you took my blood on January 20th and did a DNA test, and then you took my blood on January 22nd, my DNA would be different. Like, it completely wrecked me and completely changed me. That's the best way that I can explain it. You know, when we talk about when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we become a new creation, right? Like, I use that kind of that same analogy when I try to explain how we have changed, is that we are new. We have our DNA, our old DNA, our pre-Jesus DNA is not the same as our post-Jesus DNA, and that's the conviction, and that's what happened to me on January 21st. And he exposes disorder so that by his grace, we can put things back where they belong. And I'm still kind of in the midst of that, right? And I still have struggles and challenges and all these different things going on in my life, but I am certainly a changed person. And according to Scripture, where does it all start with? It starts with Jesus. Right? It starts with putting him first. Putting him first, putting our homes intentionally centered on him, and that we start living with wisdom instead of drifting away from him. And if Jesus isn't the first, we talked about this last week, if Jesus isn't the first, then everything else is just going to start going by the wayside. Things are going to start becoming extraordinarily disorganized. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Now, the last phrase is key, so that he might come to have first place in everything. First place in everything. Jesus doesn't ask for a place in your life. He deserves first place in your life. That's in your notes. Why? Because he's not just helpful, although he is. It's because he's Lord. He is God, he is Lord. It's not just a spiritual add-on, you know, not just something that we, you know, as we're walking through life and things seem to be going well or whatever, like, oh man, this would be a cool time to just throw a little bit of Jesus on top of my life and just have a little fun. No, he should be there all the time. He should be first in everything that we do. And if Jesus is the one who holds all things together, then what happens when we push him to the edge of our life? Things start falling apart, right? Things start to unravel, which is exactly what happened to me, right? My life just began to unravel. And that's not because he's petty, right? Jesus isn't petty. It's because life only works rightly when the Creator is in his rightful place. The one who made us knows how we are meant to live. The one who made us knows how we are meant to live. One who saved us knows what should govern our hearts. The one who holds all things together is the only one who can hold us together. He's the only one that can hold us together. This is where a lot of people might get in trouble, right? We want Jesus as a Savior, but we're slower to embrace him as Lord. We want forgiveness, but not full surrender. We want peace, but we still want to arrange our life in our own kind of way, right? We want blessing, but we don't always want his lordship. And Paul says that Jesus is to have first place in everything, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your schedule, in your finances, in your private life, in your habits, in your thoughts, in your decisions, and in your ambitions. Every single thing, he should be number one. Because if Jesus is not first, then something else will be. Something else will be first, right? That has happened, probably to every single one of us, but certainly has happened to me. And whatever replaces him, what's going to happen? It's going to start making a mess of everything, right? You're going to start making a mess of everything that you see, everything that you touch, everything that you think about, everything that you love. It's all going to start to unravel. And seeking the kingdom first means that we need to reorder our life around what matters the most. And that goes to Matthew 6:33. We talked about it last week. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. What does Jesus not say? He doesn't say, think about God when you have some time, when you have an extra couple seconds in your day. Yes, please think about me. That would be great. He doesn't say, give God a little attention after that you've handled everything else in your life. No, he does not say that. He says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is priority language, right? This is priority. This is order. This is reset. Seek first. And to seek first the kingdom means that the rule of God, the will of God, and the righteousness of God become the controlling priorities of your life. The controlling priorities of your life. So when you think that, you know, your job is your highest priority, or your family is your highest priority, or X, Y, Z, whatever it is your highest priority, then your priorities are not in line with what God is showing us today. He should be first, right? He should be first in and through everything. It means we don't build our lives around convenience, right? I'm sure we've all done that a time or two. We don't build our lives around the approval of other people, or about money, about jobs, about anything. We don't do anything but what revolves around, what our lives should revolve around is that of Jesus and only Jesus and everything else, I promise. Like I'm witnessing, you know, firsthand in my own life how when I finally recognized that my priorities were so screwed up and I put Jesus back where he belonged, you know, I still have a lot of issues around my life right now. But things are very, 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 very slowly starting to make their way back to where they're supposed to be. And it's going to take a long time. Why? Because for a long time I allowed my priorities to be completely screwed up. So it's going to take a while to get back to where they're supposed to be. And this shapes everything. Whatever we think of or whatever we cling to first is going to shape everything. If stress is first, then our life will be ruled by anxiety. If it's success, our life will be ruled by performance. If it's comfort, ruled by self-protection. But if Jesus is first, your life will be ruled by righteousness, peace, wisdom, and obedience. And a lot of us want to feel more settled, but we have not stopped to ask. We haven't stopped to ask whether life is structured around the right center, right? Like we all would love a safe and settled life. Things are going well, but you know, if our life is not revolving around the center, which is Jesus, then it doesn't really matter what we think or feel, because the center is going to become very off kilter very, very quickly, and it's going to be bad news for us. That's why Jesus uses the word seek. Right? Seeking is active. It's something that we should be continuously doing. We should continuously be seeking Jesus in and through everything that we do. Nobody drifts into kingdom priority. Nobody stumbles into a Christ-centered life. No, we have to make a very intentional and deliberate action. We have to seek him so we can then have kingdom priorities, so we can have a Christ-centered life, so we can have a God-honoring home. We have to seek, we have to be active every day. It doesn't matter if you're the strongest Christian on planet Earth, you cannot stop seeking him every day. Seeking first means we begin making deliberate choices that reflect what matters most. Right? So if we're talking about Jesus being the center of everything that we do, that should mean that's what matters most. Right? So we have to seek him. We have to be very deliberate in all the choices that we make, the things that we say, the people we choose to, you know, have community with, like all of these things should be focused on our relationship with Jesus. He says, seek first, right? Seek first. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. So that's a powerful verse because it reminds us that life isn't endless, right? Life isn't endless. Our days are limited. Our time's not renewable, right? So we have a very limited time on this earth. So how are we going to spend it? Are we going to spend it with priorities that are completely screwed up and out of whack and not Jesus at the center? Or is it going to be my answer to prayer where all of our lives are Jesus is the center of everything that we do? Moses says, teach us to number our days carefully. In other words, teach us to live aware. Teach us to live aware. Teach us to stop wasting time. Teach us to stop assuming there will always be another opportunity. Teach us to live with wisdom, right? Like every day we don't know if this day is going to be our last, right? So, you know, when the Holy Spirit really convicts you to go and talk to somebody, you know, like whatever, you're in line at the grocery store, wherever you're at, and then the Holy Spirit's like, I need to talk to this person. We don't know if tomorrow's guaranteed, right? So go talk to that person. Go love on somebody. Go, you know, tell your spouse or your kids or whoever how much you love and appreciate them. Like we don't know what tomorrow holds. One of the reasons our priorities get out of order is because we start living carelessly with our days. We assume there's more time to reconnect with our spouse or invest in our kids. So many different things. We're, you know, deal with our own health issues, to pray, right? We don't. Wisdom says, do not assume tomorrow will do what God is asking you to do today. Don't assume tomorrow will do what God is asking you to do today. It's not guaranteed. There's a reason many people live in a constant low-level regret. They keep meaning to get to what matters most, but they keep allowing other things to be prioritized over that. Right, so they continuously are in this just cycle of regret because they can't or they're not doing what is most important to them. And before long, kids are grown and out of the house. Right, your marriage is strained, your health has declined, your relationship with Jesus might feel a little dry. Like because we haven't prioritized the things that are, you know, the most important thing to prioritize, which is a relationship with Jesus. Some of us don't need a better planner as much as we need an honest heart, right? We talked about that last week. You know, we have to really be honest with ourselves and, more importantly, honest with God with what's being screwed up in our lives, right? With our what's going on with our priorities so we can acknowledge that, repent from that. And then what's the important part of repent is to do something different, right? To change. You know, some people manage their fantasy football lineup more than they do their own priorities, right? Their own life. They know exactly who is questionable for Sunday, right? I mean, I don't watch football, so I couldn't tell you. But there are people who know football like the back of their hand. But they haven't checked in on their spouse's heart for weeks, or how their kids are doing, or how their kids are doing in school, or you know, how a good friend of theirs who might be going through some sort of, you know, health challenge or whatever, but they haven't talked to them, but they know exactly who their starting quarterback is going to be for fantasy football. We need to change that. It's not wisdom, that's just misplaced energy. That's misplacing our priorities. And reset must also show up in our homes. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourself today. Which will you worship, the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living? As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." And that part is underlined for a reason, right? We have to, you know, Our primary mission field in every single household is our household, right? It is our household. So as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. That means that you and your family should be second in priority. Like, you know, if you're married, it should be your spouse and then your kids and then everything else, right? That should be how your priorities look, is Jesus as number one always, then your spouse, then your children, and then everything else. Joshua's standing in a moment of decision. He knows the people will worship something. The only question is what, right? What will they worship, or really specifically, who will they worship? And that's still true today. That's still true today, is who will people worship? Every home is going to be shaped by something, right? The culture is very, very, very good at weaseling its way in to our lives, whether that's through commercials or, you know, the best and brightest, you know, new piece of technology or whatever it is. Like, the culture is really good at just getting in and kind of screwing up our priorities. If we do not intentionally decide who will be at the center of our home, the culture will gladly take over. The culture will gladly take over. And it will start very slow, right? It'll start very slow, where it might just be, you know, this particular thing, and then you know, you're starting to focus on this particular thing, and then the thing that's really important, Jesus, maybe starts getting moved a little bit to the side, right? And then, oh, the next biggest, coolest, neatest thing comes, and you know, you just start, and it's just like a cycle. And before you know it, Jesus is hanging out way, 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 way back here, while you're focused on all the thing that the culture is throwing at you. It's not a good place to be. Culture will teach our families to hurry, to consume, to be entertained, to keep busy and stay shallow, and to value image over depth and noise over presence. Joshua says, "As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." So that's leadership, that's clarity, and that's order, that's priorities, right? That is Jesus at the center. He's saying, "I cannot control the whole nation, but I can decide what's going to happen in my own mission field of my home," right? And that's where reset has to land. It has to be something not only that we believe, but something that we live in our homes. And if Jesus is first, that should shape how we speak to other people, right? That should shape everything that we do and say, not only in our homes, but in our workplaces, in our, you know, social circles, everywhere. When Jesus is first, it should reflect everything. A reset that never reaches the home is incomplete. A reset that never reaches the home is incomplete. It's not in your notes, but it should have been. Psalm 128, verse 1 through 4 says, "How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like young olive trees around your table. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. So what's the foundation message of this passage? It begins like this: how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. The home is strengthened when the Lord is honored. The home is strengthened when the Lord is honored. Not when everything is perfect. Right? Not when everything is perfect. Because if you wait till everything is perfect, you're going to be waiting forever. Literally ever. For eternity. Not when your family looks impressive, right? Not when the schedule is full of activities, right? No. When the Lord is feared and his ways are followed. And a healthy home is built on wisdom, not just good intentions. Take a look at Proverbs 24. It says, a house is built by wisdom, and it is established by understanding. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with every precious and beautiful treasure. So a house is built on wisdom. It's built on wisdom. It's not wishful thinking. It's not emotional speeches. It is built on wisdom. Right? Trust me. I've been wishful thinking before. I've given some pretty emotional speeches, and I can tell you for free. That is not what my house was built on. I mean, strong homes do not happen accidentally. They're built through wise choices, right priorities, Jesus first, right? It's all about priorities, and this message is all about Jesus being the center of everything. You do not build a godly home simply by hoping that things improve. Perhaps we've all been there before, just hoping, not even praying, just hoping that things will get better. You don't build a healthy marriage by assuming love will survive neglect. You don't build deep family relationships by giving everyone the leftovers of your time and attention. I can say for fact that is a true statement. That is a true statement. You will not build deep family relationships by giving everyone leftovers of your time and attention, because I did that. You do not build spiritual strength in your home by letting screens, schedules, and stress dominate everything. Homes are built. It means someone has to decide to pray. That they're going to talk, they're going to make time, that they're going to apologize, that they're going to worship, that they're going to put away distractions, that they're going to protect the house from chaos that rules everything else. And sometimes that means making changes that feel costly. Might be saying no to some things, right? Might be cutting back on the calendar. It might be dating your spouse on purpose. It might be eating together more consistently. It might be getting help. It might mean repenting to your family for being present in the body but absent in the spirit. Wisdom builds, neglect erodes. If you remember nothing else, remember that. Wisdom builds, neglect erodes. Yeah, have you ever, I'm sure you've all have built a shelf or something before, right, that had maybe four legs, right? And you would build this thing, and for whatever reason, you know, the people who design these, I think they always make them like one or two like millimeters off, so it's wobbly, right? So it's a little wobbly. But like if you have this shelf, you know, that's what, let's just say, you know, 6 feet high, you have things on the top, or, you know, maybe some heavy books on the top or whatever, things can start getting a little sketchy, right? The thing can start swaying a little bit, or it can just feel kind of uneasy. Well, what do? You don't try to fix the top shelf hoping that the base of it's going to be secured, right? Or the base of it's going to be level. And the foundation, I'll use that word, the foundation is going to be, able to support everything else on top of it. No, you start with the foundation, right? You start with what? The first priority, right? Which is the foundation, which is also what? Jesus, right? So that's what, when we're talking about a bookshelf, like this thing, right? Like this is a little sketchy, right? Like, it's like Pac-Man. Hello, feed me, right? No. But this is a bad example because this is pretty secure. So just disregard that. That was just a weird thing. We're talking about a bookshelf, right? If the things on top are wobbly, it's because not because the shelf on top is wobbly. It's because the foundation is screwed up, right? The foundation is jacked up. So we have to get our priorities back in order so our foundation, Jesus, is back to number one. And that's what happens when our priorities are out of order. I mean, you saw my shirt illustration last week, right? Like when you miss the first button and everything else just gets a little wonky, like that's what happens, right? The base, the foundation, when that's screwed up, everything else is going to be screwed up as well. So maybe some of you think, okay, I need to get my life organized. Right, my life is a little screwed up, and maybe you do, but this sermon is more than just about organization. Right? It's more than that. It's about surrender. Right? It's about surrender, because we can do all the right things and say all the right things, but if the center is still screwed up, then none of it's going to matter. If Jesus is not number one in our life, that it doesn't matter. We have to make him number one so everything else will be able to fall into its rightful place. That's why Matthew 6:33 and Colossians 1:8 matter so much. It's not just about structure, it's about who's first. Right? It's about who's first. And Reset isn't about becoming a better manager of your life while keeping yourself on the throne. No. Reset is about getting off the throne and letting Jesus have first place in everything. Remove yourself from the throne, whatever the throne is that you've placed yourself on, and put Jesus there. That's where peace begins. That's where clarity begins. That's where healing begins. And that's where family health begins. So when Jesus is everything, when Jesus is first, everything else starts finding its rightful place. And this is the important part. It's not instant. It's not perfect. But it's true. I mean, I can tell you right now, like, Jesus is where he's supposed to be in my life. And there's still a whole lot of chaos going on around that because of all the things that I'd had completely screwed up. So it takes time. And I can tell you, if I've learned nothing else in this season of my life, I have learned an incredible amount of patience. Because that's what it takes. It takes Jesus, number one, and it takes patience to just listen to what he's telling you. And the gospel is the only reason reset is possible. That's the beautiful truth. That Jesus does not just command order from a distance. He rescues disordered people. Just like you, just like me. All of us have gotten our priorities wrong. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have gotten your priorities wrong. Just like I have. All of us have drifted. All of us have put lesser things in greater places. All of us have screwed up. That's why we need more than just a system, right? We need a Savior. We need a Savior, and thank God that he sent Jesus to save all of us, all of our chaos, all of our struggles, everything that life has thrown at us. God has sent his Son to die on the cross for all of it. That means reset is possible. not because you are strong enough to rebuild yourself, but because Jesus is gracious enough to restore you. Jesus is gracious enough to restore you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." And that's the hope of this entire series. It's this monster 2-week series, right? That is the hope, that a new life has come, that we're not stuck, that we're not beyond God's help, that we're not stronger than his grace, that we're, our habits aren't stronger than his grace, and our drift is not beyond his power to connect or correct. But we have to have some sort of action, right? We have to respond. We have to respond to all of this, and that's how we bring it back into order, right? We have to do something in order for something to happen. Right, we have to put Jesus at number one in our lives. So as we close this series, what needs to come back into order? I'm just going to have a series of questions. What needs to come back into order in your life? What has been too important? What has had too much room? What has been crowding out Jesus? What has been stealing time, focus, attention, and presence from the people and priorities that matter most? And for some, the answer might be completely obvious, right? And some, you might have to lock yourself in a closet and just pray without ceasing. But do not leave this message just admiring the truth that God has spoke today to us. Do something. Do something about it. You know, I'm not going to speak for anybody here, but I would venture to guess that there is something probably in each of our lives that are still not in the right order. Right? We probably have something in our life that is a little disorganized. It might not be as, you know, as wild as what I had disorganized. I mean, there's something in your life that is disorganized. So what are you going to do about it? Right? Just think of Jesus asking the question, like, yeah, I'm here. I'm not in the center yet because of whatever this is that you got going on. So this is Jesus saying, what are you going to do about it? Right? What are you going to do about it? Boy, I'll tell you, when it gets to that point, it gets pretty wild. It gets pretty squirrely pretty quick when you have, you know, the Holy Spirit of God just beating the living daylights out of you figuratively and in some cases literally. We need to reset, you know. So if you have anything in your life that is out of order or you know, priorities are a little out of whack, I beg you, I pray that you would take a good hard look at what those priorities might be that are stealing time away from Jesus. And that's when it becomes real, when we take action, right? When we take action, not when we start talking about it, not when we agree with it, but when we surrender to it, when we surrender to those priorities that are taking over from Jesus. So let's bring it all back into order. Jesus first, family next, and everything else. Everything else. And that's what reset is. That's what reset is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us today and for loving us enough to call us back when our priorities drift from you. God, help us leave here ready to put you first. Lord, to love our families well and to walk in wisdom so that our lives can reflect the lordship of Jesus in every single area of our lives. Now give us the courage to make whatever changes you're calling us to make. Even the hard ones, even the ones that are going to cause us to be uncomfortable. You got to let this message bear fruit, real fruit, in our hearts, in our homes, and in our daily lives. So grateful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.